Joining us on the telephone for more analysis is Jeffrey Engel. Jeffrey Engel is the founding director of the Center for Presidential History at Southern Methodist University. He's the co-author and co-author of many books, including Impeachment and American History. Jeffrey Engel, thank you for your time.
Hi, it's good to talk to you tonight.
It's good to have you. We may interrupt you in the middle of your speaking just so we can make sure we get the announcement of the vote total concerning Article 1 of the first article of impeachment. But as a historian, as somebody who studies impeachment, what do you think this, how does this impeachment fit in history? How do you see it?
Well, obviously, the most important thing to say is the most obvious, which is that we have very few precedents to go on. But this is actually the first impeachment, I think, that actually really fits what the founders were concerned about when they wrote the impeachment clauses into the Constitution. You know, Bill Clinton's case was, of course, one about perjury in a civil affair. Andrew Johnson's case was one really of political division within the country, whether what the form Reconstruction should take after the Civil War. The founders were really primarily concerned with a president who betrayed his or her oath of office to a foreign power, one who perhaps worked with foreign powers to influence elections, is exactly what they described, one who had perhaps lied in order to win election, and one who they thought might continue to lie in order to retain office and therefore, you know, sort of hide the crime that they committed the first time. So, you know, when we go through a list of what the founders were genuinely concerned about, the hypotheticals they came up with, it really reads like a script for what Donald Trump has been accused of.
But at the time, the founders were worried about the United States being a young, weak nation, having its politics influenced by a wealthier, more militarily powerful nation elsewhere in the world. That's the inverse of the U.S. president arm-twisting a small country on the border of an aspiring empire in order to get them to cast some dirt on his political rival.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, this is one of the things about the Constitution is that we have to think about how those words should be applied, not just in the past, but in our own day. But I will tell you, one of the interesting things about the way the framers understood the concept of treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors is actually somewhat different than we understand it today. If we focus on the word bribery in particular, which I think speaks to exactly what you're describing, we generally think of bribery as for a public official, as a public official taking a bribe, as a public official receiving something of value in order to change their public stance or their policies. The founders actually thought of it as the exact opposite. They were primarily concerned about a public official using their office in order to get someone else to do something. So it actually, what President Trump, again, I don't want to pass judgment. That's not my role, as the defendant's role. What the president has been accused of is actually very close to what the founders theoretically were concerned about, granting your point that the world of 2020 is much different than the world of 1787.
Bribery was language that Democrats started pushing partway through the impeachment process. Adam Schiff repeatedly making the point during House Intelligence Committee hearings that it was something of value in exchange for doing or not doing an official act. But it was ultimately language that they abandoned when drafting up the articles of impeachment in favor of abuse of power. Why do you think that dropped out of the conversation?
You know, I think that was purely for political reasons. It's obviously everything that we're seeing here is for political reasons. But, you know, the Democrats, I think, came to a conclusion that they wanted to make the simplest case possible. And you know, the harsh fact is, and this is going to hurt everyone's ears, but I think we need to stop and appreciate it. The language of the actual impeachment articles does not matter at all. The Senate can decide to impeach articles from the House that really genuinely say nothing more dramatic than, we don't like this guy. And if the Senate approves that, then the president is found guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. It doesn't need to be an actual crime.
Jeffrey Engel, we're getting the official vote count now. I want to thank you so much. Jeffrey Engel's founding director of the Center for Presidential History at Southern Methodist University.